All righty, very good. Welcome to all of you. This is the MediaBits Power Hour. We're delighted that all of you are here. This is a monthly webinar and educational conference call that we've been hosting and holding for the last 16 years. We're coming up on number 200 since we first began. We're big believers in giving and giving back, so every single month we write an article about publication, media, and advertising sales success. And every month, thanks to the wonderful partnership and wonderful sponsorship by MediaBids and our collaborating together, we put these on together, and it's really a lot of fun. It takes a lot of planning behind the scenes to do the work and get ready for these programs, but we anticipate that this will be a learning, educational, and an opportunity for you to take the skills that we're going to talk about and go out into the market and deploy them. A word of suggestion and advice, please clear your desk. Please shut your office doors. Turn off your phones, whatever it takes to really be able to focus on the learning that's going to be here. It also is not an accident. There is not a visual component here. That's because we want you to maximize your learning. We know that the very best in adult learning means you're actively engaged. The more notes you're taking, the more that you're learning. By the way, hint, hint, in the selling and sales world and the leadership world, the more notes you're making, the more that you're listening and the more you're succeeding as well. By definition, for those of us that are in selling and sales, starting with me, I have to make notes so that I am listening, because that is not our greatest gift. We'd prefer to speak rather than to capture. As always, it's a delight to be here with Jed. Jed is the president, founder, CEO of MediaBids, and person elegante. He's wonderful to work with. We always have a lot of fun. We talk about family, travel, and, of course, always biz every time we get an opportunity to connect. So, Jed, how about some opening words to the group and some an introduction about MediaBids and the wonderful world that you create and revenue for your clients?
All right, I am not. I am the opposite kind of person as Ernest. So I am not the kind of person who needs notes as much, because I am not a speaker. I would not rather be speaking.
So, but you are a person of elegante. And you're going, where elegante? Where is he going with that?
I am Ernest straight man. But we really appreciate having these teleseminars and all the participation that we get. It seems as though there are a lot of publications that get something out of it. Ernest is wonderful and really brings a huge amount of knowledge to these. And as you'll see as we go through this hour, really is the driving force behind them. And I always learn a lot myself listening to his different topics and how he dissects them. Just real quickly, MediaBids is a marketplace for selling ads. It works similarly to Expedia, Travelocity, a travel website. What we do is we give publications another way to sell ads to advertisers that may not otherwise know that you existed or just didn't take you or just didn't consider you as part of their purchases. More and more advertisers are beginning to sort of look to online formats as a way of kind of doing their job, and this is just an extension of that. It's a way for you to sell ads at your prices using all of the criteria that you normally put in there, just to sell to a different group of advertisers. So we'd love to tell you more about it. We'd love to, for those of you who are already using it, we'd love to talk to you more about, how to use it better or get more out of it. We're always welcome to feedback. So please, after the call, we'll send around an email. Please feel free to respond to, get in touch with us in any way. But thanks again for participating, and I look forward to listening to Ernest.
Well, you might be listening, but you also help me prepare, and we banter off each other. You're also the voice of reality. You also insert many pointed questions as we roll along. So trust me, there's so much more, and I'm very appreciative, Jed, for you, the wonderful work that we do, and, of course, your fantastic team behind the scenes. To all of you, my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. Way back in the 80s, I was working for a little bitty company by the name of Motorola, went on to get certified and trained in the sales methodologies of Xerox, and then stepped into, in 1986, the world of publication and advertising sales, and has been in my blood ever since. I love to win. I like to help my clients win and work with hundreds of publications all around the world, coaching, training, a recruiting division, investment banking, the buying and selling of publications, the search engine optimization, monetizing websites, LinkedIn work, all of those things I utilize to help my company win and to help my clients win. I do not like the word, sorry, we're not going to continue advertising, fill in the blank. I hate those words. I hate going into meetings when I feel like I'm on my heels. And that's really the very essence of what this conversation and this webinar is all about here today. So we're talking about increasing your 2012 rate card, all right? And I just want to sort of share that we had more than 19 pages of comments and questions and observations as prep for this meeting. And we love that. It really allows us to expand our topic. It gave us some nice feedback to go deeper in certain areas. So we've tailored our program here throughout the presentation, and you're going to see us work and weave that in, and then we're going to actually, by name, insert some of the questions as well throughout the course of the webinar. The piece to also know is that this is about a mindset. So there's three key points we promised to cover. Point number one, what are the trends for prior year rate card increases, and why are rate card increases key and critical to your advertising sales success? So number one, okay, if it's to be, it's up to me. If it's to be, it's up to me. This is about a mindset of your confidence, because what we also saw in the questions that came in was a resounding, some version of, are you nuts? What do you mean rate increases? How could we possibly roll it out in this economy? How can we possibly do it when our competitors are discounting and even more so and no one's increasing? Well, let's just begin by framing, okay, that I don't care what the economy has been over the last 25 years that I've been in advertising and publication and media sales, I have never seen any other approach other than that first reaction of, why do I have to go do that? I've got advertisers that are with me, that will stay with me, that will continue to advertise. What do you mean we're going up 3, 5, 7, 10, 12%? So what I want all of you to know is, no matter what the economic cycle has been or where we've been in the economic cycle, it has been a reoccurring theme, okay? And it always begins with your attitude and your approach. And your attitude and approach has to be one of absolute, complete confidence and conviction. Confidence and conviction, all right, that you can go in and convey exactly the value of your publication. Okay, now, the key is the value. And the key is, what have we done over the last 6 to 12 months to earn the right to ask for an increase? What will we do in 2012 that'll give us the opportunity in the fall of next year to ask again for an increase in 2013? So to all of you, for those of you who are the leaders of your publication, CEOs, presidents, owners, that is your task every single day, to ask, what am I doing to improve, to strengthen, to add more value to my product and to help my team? For those of you who are sales managers or salespeople, you have to push the other way. I have a new idea. I have a new approach. I want to create an alliance. I want to stretch what we're currently doing. I want to expand because I saw this great idea. Okay? It's a gentle seesaw. It's a gentle pressure. Top to bottom, you've got to lead. Bottom up to the top, you have to push. Because if you don't, and you think you're going to come in each year with the same old, same approach, same readers, same editorial, same distribution circulation, and expect an increase, that is just not going to happen. Right, Jed?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there has to be some rationale behind it, and you have to make a case for it.
Absolutely. So let's go to the other side. Jed, what do we know about running a biz? The cost of running a biz only goes up.
Correct.
Right? Where do we want to go? What do you want to start first? You want to talk about office leases, wages, health care, you know, paper, print, web design? Where do we want to go? I mean, every item that a business owner and your company provides only goes up, okay? And if we only keep our same rates that we had last year and the prior year and the prior year, philosophically, we are taking our company into the ground. It is not in our best interest. But more importantly, from a business perspective, it does not make fiscal sense. So So we have to start with the economic reality. For those of you who are leaders in your publications and owners and so forth, you can take out a sharp pen and you can sketch what that number is. And you can sit down with your team and convey what that number is. And we'll talk about how to do that a little later on. But the point is that there are dollars and cents that we can see line item by line item that requires us to make that shift. Also recognize individually, for those of you who are sales leaders and sales team members, that also you want your commissions to grow. You want your compensation packages to grow. You might want a better benefit plan. You might want more career advancement. You might want an increase in cell phone or technology expense or automotive if you drive a territory. So recognize that for all of those things to happen, your rate card also has to increase. Let's talk a little bit about, and this is in prior years, that the rate cards have annually gone up, depending upon sectors, broadly, 3, 5, 7, 10, as much as 12%. And there's all kinds of reasons for that. Many of you ask, what's the range? Those are the ranges. Typically, a single-digit range is the norm, unless you've made some pretty significant changes to your publication, to your media, to your website, to your e-newsletter, and you can justify that. For example, Jed, if you change a frequency, if you change the size of a print publication, if you change geographical areas, what's kind of interesting, Jed, is when you do those things, you have an opportunity to explain why the change and actually make pretty significant changes to the rate card from a fee structure. Does that make sense?
Right. Yep.
Okay. So let's talk about what we must have in order. We must have our ducks in order to think about a rate card increase no matter when you do it and no matter what the economic times are. We cannot come in with the same story. We have a lot of prep to do, and we'll talk today about the kind of prep. But we really must have our ducks in order so that we can go out with a very compelling reason, not only for the increase, but on the other side, what is the value that we're bringing? The other piece is that not only do we have to look internally to what our needs are, but then, yes, we have to look to see what the marketplace is bringing as well. What are our competitors in print doing? What are our competitors electronically doing? What alliances have they formed? What improvements have they made? Are we following them or are they following us? Who's doing what to whom? What advantage do we have that they don't have? Okay. Some of this ties into our USP, our unique selling sales proposal. Part of my corporate days, Jed, we had publications that were at the exit door going out of every major grocery store. So if you were in a grocery store, your publication was there, and if you controlled the rack, you were there, your competitors weren't. Well, imagine 100 stores, and if you got 100 prime grocery locations, guess what? If I don't see my competitor there, I've got a major advantage. But then if they come in and take that contract, I lost that advantage.
Right.
So those are the kinds of things that give us that compelling story, okay? Some of our clients have unique advantages. For example, they have membership lists, Jed. You know, membership lists that they target a controlled circulation. That's a huge advantage because they have it and competitors don't. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, it does. I mean, it can even be something as simple as just, you know, understanding better who your readers actually are, right? I mean, it doesn't, you know, it's great if it's something concrete like a contract that other publications don't have or a point of distribution other publications don't have, but it can even be something that sort of shows that, you know, it sort of definitively who your readers are and why they are, you know, why they should be sought after.
Yeah, absolutely. That could include, that could include a readership survey. That could include buying trends. That could include response to advertising that we are able to measure, which we'll tuck in and talk about web response, phone tracking, much like MediaBid does. So the point is that we have some real powerful tools. So again, in this opening point about really having our house in order and why it's important for rate increases, it's mission critical. We will not be in business. We will not continue to be employed if we don't have increases. So some of this is shift your mindset, recognizing that we want to embrace increases in a positive way. We want to utilize it to show what we've done for our advertisers and we want to proudly be able to demonstrate the value that we're bringing different and superior to our competition. I like rate increases because it spurs the thinking. I like it because buyers are open this time of year because they're working on their budgets. This is a really fertile time of year. In my early years, just so all of you know, you might think, hey, Ernest, you're either drinking too much green tea or you're drinking shots of whiskey over there. I don't know what's going on, you know. But in the end, this is not fun for me. Or I'm not perceiving budget season being fun, or I'm not perceiving rate increases. But quite honestly, any time you raise the buying temperature and you disrupt the thinking of an advertiser or a prospective advertiser, you have succeeded. But the key is, what do you fill that window with? Jed, if I call up and say, Jed, hey, listen, hi, I'm calling. Listen, your rates are going up by 4% next year. Can you tuck that in the budget? That's not a fun phone call.
Right.
I'm not having fun. And so all of you know, in my early days of advertising, I placed those calls. That's how I said it. That's all I did. That's all I knew. Today I want to talk about the expansion of our website with 42% more hits and that people are clicking twice as much this year as last year. I want to talk about an electronic distribution alliance that we picked up another 50,000 readers. I want to talk about my controlled circle list that I picked up this wonderful membership or a distribution separate than anybody else or an improvement of our circulation and a readership survey to back that up. Jed, now I can't wait to talk to you about all of those things. And, gee, what I do want you to know is while our rate is going up next year, I hope you can see that we've been working real hard this year to set the stage for a positive, productive year for you next year.
So the reason for the price increase may ultimately be the increase in the cost of running your business. But the rationale is you need to give a rationale that you know extends beyond that, right? It's not just enough to say I need to increase my rates 4% because our prices went up.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly correct. Unless
and,
there's something.
And that's typically. Yep. I mean, that's typically you know what I mean. I sort of play the part of the advertiser in today's
mm-hmm.
call.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, and that's the most common thing that you hear from publications is paper's more expensive. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have a price increase, and you know, I'm not sure why. That's what mm-hmm. they said. You know, that's what management is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, on the sort of the rep level, right? It tends to typically get described as a pass along thing, where you know our costs are more, therefore mm-hmm. you should pay more.
Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, in my 88 pages of notes and prep for today, I have nothing that includes paper went up.
Right.
I have nothing that includes it costs more to track our publication. You know what? That stuff is as old as the moon, man. I don't want to go down that path. Nobody wants to hear it. We all have costs to run a biz. What I want to know is what are you going to bring to me so that my advertising, for every dollar I give you, you're going to give me back $2 in value or $3 or $5 in value that I can drive my company and I can succeed in these really, really challenging times. We have a client that works in the 50 and 60 plus space, and they've carved out that sector so well that their advertisers are so compelled to come in. And they know there's going to be increases, and yet they're still compelled to come in because their story is compelling. And I ask each of you to write down that word, compelling. What is compelling that there are 16 calls waiting for me at the end of today's webinar, all from prospects saying, I want to buy 5 full pages? You might say, Ernest, you're definitely drinking too much green tea. And I say to you, no. I want it to be that compelling. I want it to be that significant. Okay? And I'm a believer. I drink my own Kool-Aid. I'm working on a project behind the scenes. In the 30-day window, we got a little project we're working on, Jed. What's $1 million in revenue in 30 days? I believe in compelling. I have a compelling story. And I want every single person on this call to have a compelling story for what's going to bring that business and that revenue. No matter what the economic times are, businesses want and need you more than ever. They're scared. They're concerned. They're worried about the future, and you are the calm in their storm. For every dollar they bring, it's an investment in the return on investment they're going to get on the other side. You're an investment in their business, but you have to tell them why, and you have to tell them why you've earned the right for the biz, and you have to tell them why you're better than your competitors, which is our next point. In order to go in and be able to ask for rate card increases, you have to have your sales tools in place. And we've done entire calls. I encourage you to come into the MediaBiz website, even into the Power Hour website. Either way, it brings you to the same space. And go listen to. There's more than 50 hours of programs there. And we've talked about pre-meeting resources, media competition, comparisons, return on investment, the ability to track results. All the pieces are there. But you have to have those pieces in place to earn the right to ask for an increase. The other piece, we've done an entire program, Jed, as you know, on the 21 power negotiating skills. These are the sales skills on the other side so that we're prepared for these meetings and we look forward to them. Okay? And last point is that, remember, new advertisers have no idea that your increase was 3% or 33%. Okay? Jed, let's pause here around point number one. I know we have a lot of questions that that we'll weave in right here, but anything else related to point one about prior rate card increases and why they're critical to advertising sales success?
No, I think you said it, but just to reiterate, one of the things that I think print publications don't oftentimes do a very good job of is sort of telling the story of an evolution and a growth. A lot of print publications sort of, tend to have the attitude of, we are what we are and we're the best of what we do, but they don't really explain that very well. One of the things, as you mentioned earlier, that a rate increase kind of forces out of you, I think, is to provide a rationale around why why it's justified. And in doing so, I think probably do as much, good. The extra revenue is great, right? But you also do as much good in terms of sort of retelling your story as just the revenue alone.
I love that, Jed. I've not heard it explained that way, but you are right. It does force you to get honest. Well, yeah, it's like, hey, we have to drink our own Kool-Aid.
Right?
Am I proud, right? Am I proud of my story? Do I have a compelling story? Have we done the work this year to ask for and earn the right to gain that increase? And so for those, again, that are leaders that are part of our program today, that is your quest and that is your challenge. And it cannot start 3 weeks before budget season or 3 weeks before rate increases. It is an every single day you put your shoes on as a leader and you ask yourself, what can I do today that will help my team win? What will help my team have a compelling story? That is your task.
And
those of you that are sales leaders and salespeople, you push the other way and ask for what you need. Jed, a comment?
Yeah, and the thing is that in a lot of cases, and I certainly can't say all, but in a lot of cases, print publications are already doing that work, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one does as much when it comes to special sections or building out different parts of the product or offering online. Online components that go along with print, or offering total market coverage. I mean, there's a big story to tell, right? It's just that I think very often the presumption is that everyone already knows it.
Yep, absolutely. I'm going to roll through some questions here. We have Maria in California. Are there drawbacks associated with raising rates during these tough economic times? Maria, hopefully this first portion of the program has addressed that. Absolutely, categorically, every single year we must increase rates. For those of you that are the owners of your publications and media and advertising sources, when you go to sell your company, a buyer wants to know that you did this on a consistent basis. It talks about the strength of your publication. We have a note from Tom in Alabama. What if your direct competitor did not raise rates last year while you did? First off, they're coming from a place of fear. That should tell you something about your competitors. We did an entire call related to those who are discounting, Tom, and I'd encourage you to go back and look at the site and listen to that program. Many of you asked a similar question. Let's see, we have Jeff in Florida who says, how do I raise rates without angering long-time existing customers who have not had a price hike in 3 years? That's my first clue. Jeff, 3 years is too long. I know your marketplace. It's my hometown. 3 years is a really long time, and you are preparing those advertisers for some version of the rates don't go up, and they are going to be angry. You need to. I don't care if it's 1%. Show them something so they know it and they expect it, and frankly, things are actually starting to uptick. I was looking at some housing reports and numbers, and very interesting. You also write, does it make sense to add a free month for those who renew at a higher price? Please do not do that. You are setting up a negotiating environment, which means everything's up for negotiation. I would rather a little brand extension into your e-newsletter or some expansion into some web value. Do not give a free month. That is a very slippery slope, and when you open that up, then you open up everything in terms of negotiating, okay? Let's see, a couple more questions here, Jed, that came across. Let's see, related to point number one. I think there was one more. Here we go. We have one from Kay in North Carolina who says, what is the best way to present those justifications to customer and staff? To your team, I would suggest you put in writing the reasons why the increases to show them in what areas and categories so they understand. And then a little later in our program, we'll talk about how to present this to advertisers as well. Okay? For those of you that would like to send some real-time questions, just hit reply to the confirmation that got you here. And you can tuck that in. We'll feed those into our notes here today, and then also you can send an email to Ernest@powerhour.com, and we'll work those in for you. Jed, let's go into the second part, if we could. We want to talk here about where should you look to increase your advertising rates, what is the triple crown of rate card increases, and what must be in place for your 2012 rate card increases before you get started, okay? So, triple crown of rate card increases, we want you to have your increases across all three, land, sea, and air, in your print, in your e-newsletter, and on your website. Look at all three. We want to encourage you passionately that all three of those should increase, but each of them need their own separate track and story. They each bring their unique component, whether it's the clicks you're measuring, time on the website, readership, readership survey, each of those. But we also want you to bundle all three of those together. For those of you that don't have that bundled together, that is the absolute most important part. They should be working together. For probably, Jed, I don't know, 5 years we've been talking about bundling all three, right?
Right.
Yeah, since like, you know, so this is not a new topic. For those of you that do not have an e-newsletter, stop in your tracks. Get it done. Go listen to one of our prior webinars. We've done entire programs about what goes in an e-newsletter, how to build it, how to sell it. It's all there, okay? But you need that coupled with your website, coupled with your print publication. You want to weave all of those together. Also recognize that as you're thinking about your rate card increases, remember the pros and cons, and we have a wide variety of media professionals on this call. We have those of you that work with free publications, those with paid CERC, those with controlled CERC, and those of you that have a combination thereof. Okay? Know the pros and cons of what you bring to each. Controlled CERC, like a dart, we can target exactly who we want. Paid CERC, the other side, which is people are paying for it, must be valuable, then what does that bring? And, of course, free CERC is more selective publications. I have to select what I want. It doesn't come to me. I have to go to it. Okay? So each of those have a whole series of pros and cons related to this. Also recognize that when you go into increase, whether it's your print, your web, or your e-newsletter, each not only need their own unique story, but it needs to be in writing. Remember the beginning of our call, we said please take copious notes. Remember as well that we salespeople like to rely, starting with me, on the gift of gab, our verbal skills, which is why we're in sales. But our buyers don't buy and don't remember the same way. They need something tangible. Something in writing, something they can remember the meeting, something they can pass to their partner, something that they can hold on to and make that decision, and or electronic by email that they can review and see. Remember, just as a small tip, and Jed, I know that this goes without saying, but stuff that we send electronically can also get shipped off to competitors. You know, so let's also just recognize that, you know, electronic information moves very rapidly. Does that make sense? All right. So let's talk about what do we have to do before we get started. Number one, why are we raising the rates? What is our strategy? What has changed since last year? Okay, so this is the meat now of what we're talking about in terms of rate card increases. So why are we doing it, and what is the strategy? And by how much? Okay, and how will this impact our cost per thousand, our CPM? What did we know last year? What did we learn about our competition? All right, now, and this is the place where we circle back to media comparisons. For those of you that work with us, you know what this is all about, and we know that we have media comparisons for every one of our competitors. So when we start to talk about rate increases, where do we go first? To our media comparisons. For those of you that are not familiar with that, again, come into the Power Hour site, come into the MediaBid site, doesn't matter. Either way, go look for the one that speaks to media comparisons. All right? I think we've done two over the last maybe 6 years. All right, you need that tool because that's where you get real and that's where you get honest about how you're competing with competitors, and it's a great piece tied into the rate card increase because it will tell us about their cost per thousand, among other things, and that also helps us here. It also gives us the opportunity, the next point here, to again circle back, as Jed was talking about earlier, what is new? What has changed since last year? What is compelling? What is our USP? Remember, that stands for our unique selling proposal or unique sales proposition. What sets us apart? Do we have the best editorial? Do we have the best placement? Do we have the best readership? Do we have the best website and can validate? And by the way, all of those things are not just hyperbole of, yes, this is the best cheesecake. No, but if it went out and was tested by 20,000 people tasting cheesecake and we were given an award, then that's the case. So anytime we want to define or measure or describe what makes us better, we have to absolutely categorically measure it and be able to prove it. All right? Let's talk about circulation, Jed. Circulation, distribution, what do we know about those topics, Jed, and the importance of that as it relates to media, advertising, and publications?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's the probably the most important component. I mean, to the extent that it, you know, it dictates CPM and it is what CPM, you know, as I'm sure everyone on the call knows, cost per thousand, you know, is really sort of how increasingly advertisers compare different media outlets, especially across, you know, across mediums. So it becomes sort of the lowest common denominator, so to speak, of a decision-making process. So to the extent that, you know, circulation is growing or declining or just how it relates to the prices is, you know, really what at least what we see in an increasing number of advertisers paying closer attention to.
Yes. And so the key is, and this is some version of bigger isn't necessarily better, okay? It's okay to say, look, we trimmed our paid circulation because we shifted our geographical distribution, or we trimmed our paid circulation because we reorganized based on readership survey or business surveys or a combination, and we are trimming or revising where we go out to. Or it's okay to say we're trimming our circulation because we're removing the upper or the lower demographics or psychographics that are, you know, that are embedded in our readership, whether it's controlled or paid. If you're on the free side, same thing. You know, we're only going to be in 100 racks for this reason. We got more compact and got tighter, and our story is more compelling. Or there are strategic reasons where you might find you have three competitors that they're covering twice the area that you are, and that requires you to spread. So you see, there's no real one-size-fits-all. Sometimes bigger makes sense and more, and other times tighter and small makes sense. The key is, do you know which ones you're doing and why? I have clients where we might have 10 publications, and we're deploying three different strategies across the 10, each uniquely for them based on their own particular needs.
Right. And increasingly, I mean, if the Internet has taught advertisers anything, it's that they don't need to waste money reaching customers that they don't covet, right? So, you know, the more specific and the more, you know, just sort of pinpoint you can be about your about who it is that your readership is, you know, it will, you know, in my experience, resonate with advertisers more than ever. So you're right. It's not necessarily a numbers game, right? It's not necessarily that, you know, our circulation went up 1,000 or down 1,000. It's quantifying that.
Yep, absolutely. And then also quantifying it with what that story is. And by the way, this goes also ties into rate card work, but just in general, Jed, man, reach out to your big advertisers. Reach out to the ones that have been with you the longest, that spend the most money. Ask for their feedback. You know, we're thinking about getting tighter, smaller for this reason. Does it make sense? We're thinking about expanding and growing larger for this reason. Does that make sense? Bring them into the process, because guess what? You don't want to surprise them with any of what you're doing, okay, which sort of waterfalls into our next conversation, alliances. We've done an entire call on alliances. I wrote the book, Smart Match Alliances. It speaks directly to what we're talking about here. Publications are highly allianceable. I've done publication alliances myself. I tied in a ski resort. I tied in the radio station. I had broadcasts. Their broadcasts, they had print. I had passes and lessons and all kinds of stuff I could dole out to clients and prospects at the ski resort. It was this wonderful opportunity. Alliances are when, by definition, 1 + 1 = 5, and publications are highly allianceable. Okay, you can align with organizations who want publications done, and you get access to their membership list. You can align with trade shows and form an alliance with trade shows and go on to do a program guide, and with that comes the exclusive that your competitors are not there. Hint, hint, big USP, big compelling story. How many of you like to be able to say, listen, there are 6 trade shows in our sector, we're the only publication there, no competitors are there, and we have 1.4 million attendees this year. Hello? Oh, and by the way, my rate increase is 12%. I like that. But you got to work and earn the right to be able to say those things.
Ernest, is it better to keep your advertisers up to date on some of these improvements that a publication is undertaking, sort of as the year goes on, or is it better to kind of save your ammunition and to say, you know, I want to tell you about this trade show deal we have for 2012, and then also talk about the rate increase, or is it better to sort of talk about the trade show deal prior to the rate increase?
Listen to the sound of this tree falling. Ready? did you hear it?
Yeah.
If a tree falls in the woods and no one hears it, did it fall? No. Right? So your point is perfect. To all of you, listen to what Jed is talking about. We can't whisper in the wind, right? We have to shout from the highest mountain. And we have to drip, drip, drip every single month into our advertisers with good news of what? Here's a little nugget of what we did for you in May. Here's a little piece of things that are happening in June. Here's a little update in July about website activity. Here's a little update in August about the trade show stuff that we're so excited about going into 2012. So that when we sit down in September with a one-sheeter of all that we've done, which, by the way, also means we're asking for the renewal, which means we're also asking for the rate card increase at the same time, but we put that one sheet together, they already remember reading about all the things that we did this year because we told them. And what do we know, Jed, about advertising? You got to tell them again. So your point's perfect. You can't just wait for the big punch come rate time or budget season or renewal time. You have to continually drip, drip, drip to ensure the relationship. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Very important part. Let's continue. Editorial. Think about your editorial. Is there an advantage there? Is there a USP? Is there a compelling reason? What do you do with your editorial? How do you bring it to life? How do you tie it into your newsletter? How do you tie it into your website? Is it exclusive? How in-depth is it? How does it set you apart? I'll never forget, Jed, working with a group that was competing with they did nothing but home improvement, and they were competing with a citywide magazine. And I said, yeah, but you're 100% home improvement. Yeah, but the city magazine is big, it's glossy, it's gorgeous. Yeah, but how many pages have home improvement? Well, you know, a few. Well, why don't we go crunch the numbers? Well, it's 6% earners. I said, great, what did that do to their cost per thousand? It's only 6 pages. So if anybody wants home improvement, there's 6 pages, and you've got 166. who's doing more with home improvement? You are. It's phenomenal. It's one of those epiphany moments, how, you know, how we present that. Editorial. How about stats? Stats. Web stats. Okay. Inbound phone calls, Jed, which you know all so well because of media biz. What do we know about inbound phone calls and leads coming to our clients? Reader surveys. What about the buying power of those that are in that are getting our publication, our newsletter, our website, our media choices? Okay, all of that factors in here. It leads to a very compelling story. Okay, and therefore, what is our competition doing? What are they doing? What do you see that they're doing to improve? Quite honestly, there's nothing worse. I sat behind the desk when my team came in, threw the publication on the table, and said, "You won't believe what they're doing." Jed, I never look forward to the rest of that sentence. Okay, right?
Right.
That was never fun. Guess what I want to be doing? I want to be shooting the cannons, man. I do not want to be defending them. All right? The words in the Lee Iacocca's, ad, lead, follower, get out of the way. You know what? If we're going to lead, and by definition, because all of you are here, you're telling us you are a leader. Your competition is not here. Lead, follower, get out of the way. There is nothing worse than following competitors. And there is nothing worse than having to get out of the way because they're shooting the cannonballs at you. You want to be shooting them with what? What are the strategies that will give you that compelling reason to ask for more? Those are the questions. Trade shows we talked about. Okay, and let's also remember the merchandising of rate cards. Remember, Jed, we did that maybe a couple of years ago. How you merchandise your rate card, how you look at the rates, 3, 6, 12, 4, 8, 12. We did an entire hour program on that. How you merchandise from a quarter, half, two-thirds, three-quarter, full page. There's a strategy both ways. For those of you that we've worked on rate cards, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You need to give those that are going to buy an ad a compelling reason to move up and a compelling reason to move out, meaning out in a longer term. Okay? A very important part of this, okay? And look for new services. What are the new services might you provide? For example, some in the advertising space have gone on to become ad agencies doing SEO, SEM, media, marketing, branding, PR. You might bring someone in on a 1099 contract basis. They might do PR for your clients. There's all kinds of brand extensions that you can do that bring your clients in even closer, and you have even more of a reason to walk and talk and engage with them. Okay? Jed, any comments on that before we turn to some of the questions flying around here?
I guess my only comment, this is really just, from the advertiser side, mm-hmm. is they have to be real improvements, right? Mm-hmm. You can't fudge it, in the sense that, it can't be one of these things where, we have a 4% increase because we have, because our web traffic is up, 6% or something. Mm-hmm. It has to be, some, excitement behind it, and it, you sort of, I guess my only comment would be that it's the type of thing you really can't be lazy about.
Mm-hmm.
There right. has to be some real compelling reason. The other thing I wanted to mention, because I know that, increasingly, even on the local level, the competition is online. There are many of you may know this, but there are lots of stats available, either through Google AdWords itself or through the sites that monitor Google AdWords about the price increases that have gone up, that have gone on in different sectors in Google AdWords. So you can get some really interesting stats on that. A lot of times advertisers don't view online sort of pay-per-click campaigns in the same way, but it's pretty easy to show that those increases have been very dramatic. And so in many cases, much, much higher percentages than what you would be proposing.
We have an email that came in from a Christian that just says, is improved editorial quality or reach a justifiable reason for increased rates? Absolutely. And how you frame it, the expertise of your editorial team, the original content versus pulling in by wire, the intimacy that you know about the subject matter, the sector, the industry, the profession, whatever that might be. Editorial all by itself is unfortunately very undersold by sales because sales doesn't know how to sell it. So for those of you that are the leaders, the owners, presidents, CEOs of your company, that's your job to have your sales team and sales leadership understand that intimately. Jed, there's a handful of questions I'm just going to roll through here. We've got one from Marilyn in Massachusetts who says, is there another technique beside an across-the-board increase, like an increase for small ads but not big ads to encourage them to go big? Yes, there is, and that ties directly, Marilyn, into the merchandising of a race card, so your question is perfect. We have one from David in New Jersey. Is there a best way to package print rates with Internet? The answer is yes, you positively do. By the way, for all of you to know, on LinkedIn, I have a group called Advertising Sales Success. Or just look for me, Ernest Oriente. Go to the bottom. You'll find my advertising group. And it's all about advertising sales success, bundling, print, newsletter, and website. And we have about 900 leaders. It's very, very lively, and you'll enjoy it. So just come into LinkedIn, find me, go down to the bottom, and find our group, and come join us, okay? So let's see, David, that sort of that addresses your point in New Jersey. Let's see, Paul in California asks, how would you increase rates with industry-wide declining circulation? My response to that, Paul, is I'm not concerned about the industry. I'm concerned about you. What are you doing? What is your company? What is your team doing? Think out of the box in terms of alliances. Look for new value adds. Look for new readership. I don't know your group like I know others, but quite honestly, the question is, what are you doing? Maybe there's an acquisition we make. Maybe there's somebody who goes out of business and we pick up a circulation list. You know, there's a variety of ways. In these economic downturns, all kinds of buying opportunities are happening, including buying of domains, buying of old websites, buying of old subscription lists. Database information, the ability to hire people from other publications and media sources. There's all kinds of sort of fluidity if you look for those opportunities.
I got to fix my sentence
please.
Here as well. The other, you know, the other issue really is tracking. You know, if you track, you know, at least some of the ads in your publication, my guess is you can show that the results that advertisers are generating from print are still above that of what they're seeing in other mediums. It's just there's, you know, the way that the Internet prices itself in many cases, you know, makes advertisers feel better about the initial investment. However, there is absolutely data out there, and you can prove it yourself, that print, you know, continues to work as well or better than it really ever has. Now, maybe that's from a smaller audience. Maybe it's not true in every single product, but there are many success stories, and I would encourage you to, you know, to not take your advertiser's word for how it's doing and to put in some of the components we've talked about in other teleseminars, like unique 800 numbers or unique URLs or 2D barcodes or whatever it may be, to try to in some way kind of you know, measure exactly how some of your advertisers are doing.
Yep, that's a valid point, and the tracking component adds a compelling reason, Jed. As you know, we have a search engine group. We brought in 22,720-some-odd calls last year. 22,000, I mean, you can measure that, and then you can go back and renew with that, and then you can go back and sell with that. And as Jed is chatting about, we've done entire programs just focused on the trackability. We are living, though, in the greatest time in the history of advertising success. This is it. But if you don't have the tools, okay, it's like, you know, closing your eyes and trying to play the piano. It's probably not going to sound real good. And what we're telling you is the tools are there, the resources are there, but you got to have your ducks in a row, just like we opened up the program today, okay? All the pieces have got to play perfectly, so you have beautiful music. Let's see. Ellen in New York asks, are people monetizing their email list? The answer is yes, absolutely they are, primarily from an advertising perspective, typically in the sort of $20 to $50 CPM, can be as high as $70 to $100 if you have something very special. But yes, you can monetize it. Yes, you can sell it. Yes, you can bundle it. And the answer is, man, what a beautiful vehicle to be able to say, look, our publication comes out with this frequency. Then our newsletter comes out in between, and look to see what happens with our website activity. For those, in fact, some of you that I know are here on today's program, I've seen the visuals of the tools of what it looks like. You know, here's our website, spikes, the publication comes out, spike the newsletter, spike the newsletter, spike the publication. It's a beautiful thing. You know, Jed, story of a picture paints a thousand words. Oh, my gosh, that story is so compelling, and you can sell that, and you can tell that to advertisers. It's wonderful. So, Ellen, your question is fantastic. Let's see. Let's talk about the last third part, Jed, of our program here today, and then we do have a couple of additional questions that I can see some of are also coming in by email. We'll look to weave all of those in before the top of the hour. What are the steps for rolling out an increase in your 2012 rate card? What must happen first? Okay. Earlier we talked about you want to speak with your largest advertisers. You want them so in the fold that you're keeping them paced along, not just about increases, but everything you're doing strategically with your publication, e-newsletter, website, your media, your advertising. Okay? Bring them in close. Make them part of your advisory board. Reach out to them when there are key opportunities, key PR, key media events. Reach out to them to let them know that you're creating new alliances. Be careful, you know, because you want it to be done, or you want to ask just exploratory questions because, you know, let's agree that your largest advertisers are also – speaking with your competitors. So with an alliance, you have to be careful. If you say, look, I'm going to go craft alliance A, B, and C, quite honestly, your competition might beat you to the punch. So you might speak more broadly, go secure the alliance, bring it back to them, and tell them what they actually did for you, okay? Sometimes, by the way, you know, Jeff, they'll expand your thinking, you know, the large advertisers. They'll sit back and go, you know, if I really were wishing big, you know, I wish you guys could go do blank. You know what I'm saying? And they'll, and they'll kick back ideas you weren't even thinking about, you know?
Sure.
So very pause from that. So embrace positively, absolutely, but don't just embrace your largest advertisers because it's rate card time. Do that consistently throughout the course of the year. I've seen wonderful programs, Jed, and you probably as well. I mean, sort of VIP lunches and dinners. And I was working with a group yesterday. We were talking about they're in Northern California, hiring a limo, picking up key clients, whisking them up to Napa, long afternoon, great dinner. Limo brings you back 4, 5, 6 hours. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's so many ways, you know, to do that with our, you know, our key advertisers. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Even though we don't all live near Napa.
Depending, hey, wherever you are, there's always something to do. There's ballooning, there's rivering, there's beaching, whatever it might be. There could be in New York a great play or theater or show or whatever, you know. So, you know, find the best in your area and go do it, you know, whatever that may be. So let's see. Also about rolling out, look at renewals. Yes, many of you asked about, you know, doing renewals, you know, what happens this year if they renew. And the truth is, yes, that can be an incentive. Be careful because, you know, I've seen, you know, advertising groups go out and do most of their renewals in the fourth quarter, okay, which means no, there are no increases because they're still going to work off 2011. And the other side is you have a really large amount of business come next year that is all renewing in the same window of time, okay? Honestly, I believe, Jed, that I like kind of a smooth cycle that says we have 12 months and there's a 1/12 of our business kind of spread across each of those months, okay? So I'm not a big fan of kind of lumping, you know, half or more of our renewals into one 30-day cycle, all right? Yes, we want to put our increase in writing in a prepared way so that our sales team can sell it in a written form. Okay, and for those of you on the sales side, I'm also a big believer in meeting daily. From the moment you begin to roll out rate increases, whether you meet face-to-face or by conference call like we're doing here, meet daily, role play, share successes, build new tools, learn from each other, have confidence together as a group. You know, nothing like being able to come in, into that meeting and be able to crow. I got my 4 renewals yesterday, or hey, I got 4, but let me tell all of you the 5th one didn't go well. Let me tell you why. And then you've got the collective vision, the collective sharing, coaching, feedback that comes from that, and the learning. Again, it might be a new tool. It might be a new way to language a renewal. So I'm a major believer to meet daily for at least the first 1, 2, or even 3 weeks out, depending on how it's going, as you're rolling out new rates so that you can collaborate together, strategize together, learn from each other, and good things happen from that.
Hey, Ernest, would you advocate or recommend any sort of additional incentivization of sales reps in the process of an increase? I mean, it seems like one of the main kind of stumbling blocks is to get the people who are actually selling it enthused about it. Is that something you would do sort of through a monetary reward or a contest? I mean, how would you handle that?
I do like the idea of contests, rewards, bonuses. I'm a big believer in trips and travel. You know, 3 days, 2 nights. You know, winner goes to Mexico. You know, that kind of thing has a lot more value than the checks that are written. Not so much though. Am I passionate about a rate card? But I like to focus on renewal percentages. I like to focus on upsells. I like to focus contests on new sales that are driven. That's the lifeblood, right, of any business. To just focus on the renewals, if there was a compelling reason, for example, it's a renewal but we're changing format and frequency, we're changing size and rates, you know, those kinds of things that you're making a real category shift, then some incentives around that. But just the standard rate increase, I look for something that sort of flows throughout the course of the year. I like bonuses that are paid on a quarterly basis, Jed. And those bonuses and those measurements every quarter can shift and change and even have different focuses depending on the time of year. For example, we're working on a new directory, a special section, and there's bonuses and recognition tied to that. I also like the idea of sometimes individual bonuses, and I also like team bonuses. So you kind of work together collectively. I also am a believer that just don't bonus your sales, bonus your admin, bonus your accounting, bonus your production, meaning everybody's in on it. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't become, boy, sales gets everything around here. You follow me?
All right, let me just ask the question that's probably on some people's minds. You do prep work, you show that your publication is, sort of definitively worth, a 4% rate increase over 2011 rates, and your advertiser says a rate increase, I'm just not in a position, my business is down, I'm not in a position to spend more with you. Do you then, what strategy would you recommend? Do you suggest smaller ads? Do you suggest less frequency? Or do you say, sorry to hear that, let me know when you change your mind?
No, I mean, I think you've already said that you're right. You would look. I wouldn't look for less frequency because we still want to maintain the visibility, but we might reduce the size of the ad. But if I also add compelling information because of my phone tracking or my web results, I say, now let me be clear that when we go smaller, this is what we know about the impact on the telephone inbound calls. This is what we know about the impact on the website. But, if we reduce that, let's talk about what that 4%, I always like to go to what the 4% is. What are we talking about? What's 4% on $1,000? $40? $10,000, $400, and where are we going to reduce it to? I don't like changing frequency, which means what are we going to do, run every other issue? What are we going to do, run every other month on the web or in the newsletter? What are people going to see or think in between when all of a sudden you disappear and you're no longer there? What does that signal? Okay, you've heard me talk about buying a pool table for probably 7 or 8 years. All I saw was the pool table group that makes custom tables in Salt Lake. When I went to buy a pool table, there was only one company I went to. I didn't bid it out. I didn't reference it. But guess what? They disappeared the last 3 years. You know what it feels like to me? I wonder if they're still in biz. I've forgotten about them until me telling you the story. So disappearing and dropping out from a frequency perspective is not a good thing. It doesn't convey. So, yeah, it might be smaller, but I'm always going to clarify the percent increase, what the dollars are. I'm going to revert back to the good things that we know about the improvements we've made. I'm going to show them their telephone tracking. We'll go back to the web stats. Remember, because I prepared all of those things, I feel like I still stand really strong with a high level of confidence that I've earned the right to ask for that 4%. Thoughts or comments on that?
No, I think it makes sense. I thought it would be educational to have you say it.
Absolutely. And there are a couple of questions. I'm just going to come around the bend, and then we'll pause and say thank you to our group because we're right at the top of the hour. But there was a question about from Matthew in New York, who says, should you make a big announcement or soft or a soft announcement to lock in customers. I am not big on the big announcement, Matthew. By the way, I love your publication. Thank you so much. I really enjoy reading it, but I do like the softer approach. I also saw a question from Aaron in Canada who says, how do we overcome the loss of a consultative sales process when we start bundling print, online, and mobile? Actually, that is what creates the consultative process. It's actually good news. So you don't lose it. By adding in the bundle, you have more to talk about and more to explain, and that is a really, really positive thing, Aaron. Okay? So very positive there. Let's pause right here. We're right at the top of the hour. I know there are a truckload of questions that came in during the course of our program. Some we were able to weave in. If we didn't, we'll send you a follow-up note after our program here today. We really appreciate you coming here today to invest this 1 hour. If there are additional topics that you would like us to present or learn more about, please send that to us. Please also, again, come into our LinkedIn group and continue the banter related to this. We will post this as a discussion before the sun goes down today. Come in to the group and come see the contributions. Come contribute, okay? We'll also be back in the month of October, and then we'll do one more program early November, and that will conclude this year, and then we'll be back in the early part of January. Jed, how about some closing words to the group, please?
No, once again, you've proven me right. You bring the vast majority of the knowledge to these sales seminars, and appreciate your time.
Well,
and thank
you,
everyone, for joining us.
Thank you very much, Jed, for all the support from you and your team, and I have equally appreciated and acknowledged the work that you do, and as and when you present the research you have done for us along the way, the fine work that you provide with MediaBids and working with our clients and all of your clients, it really is extraordinary. So to all of you, make it a wonderful day, and we'll look forward to being back with you next month. And if this has been helpful, please let us know. And if there's additional topics that you'd like us to cover, please pop us a quick email note, and we'll tuck those in as well, okay? All right, Jed, thanks so much, and we'll see you next month, okay?
Thank you very much.
Take care.